She knew the moment she approached that her husband was dead. She could see his body being loaded onto a stretcher by two medics. His face was covered in blood and unrecognizable. One of his arms was missing, but she recognized his suit. The suit was all that was identifiable about him. "Ma'am, get back," a policeman told her, pushing her backward away from the scene.
"That's my husband," she screamed. "Leave me alone."
"Ma'am, you'll have to step back. You cannot go up there."
"Where's my baby? That's my husband. Get away from me."
Salem waved her arm across the officer's head. Suddenly, the officer, as well as the two others now running forward to block her way, were sent hurtling backward over the hood of the closest vehicle involved in the wreckage. Her path was cleared as she sprinted forward toward her husband. David was dead. Undeniably dead. She stood staring at the carnage which had once been the man she loved. Somewhere beneath the torn flesh and bloodied face was her husband. The missing arm, his left arm, was where he wore their wedding ring. Salem suddenly found herself wondering where the arm, where the ring, could be. But another thought flashed into her mind, making the visage of David's decimated body fade away.
"Where is my baby?"
"Out of the way!" shouted another medical professional, rushing forward with a gurney. Strapped to it was the tiny form of baby Michael. "We're losing the baby!" Salem stood stunned, almost out of body as she witnessed her infant child being rushed toward the back of the ambulance. Instinctively, she shoved her hand forward in his direction and froze the scene. Everything stopped. With one look, it was clear that the air of malice was not achieved through the use of her facial muscles, but was an overall air she gave off along with a hint of eccentricity. It was as if her viciousness came from deep within her bones instead of being deliberately shown on the surface. The effect was plainly obvious, and it immediately chilled everyone to their core. They found her terrifying just looking at her. Rachel narrowed her eyes before gathering her senses. Rachel's gaze instantly resumed its usual clarity. She turned to look at the host. "I'm afraid I've embarrassed myself. I didn't really prepare and casually performed a small part." "Don't be so quiet, all of you. Did I make all of you feel awkward?" It was a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Her 4,432nd Saturday afternoon. Olympia Blanchard was 85, but her mind hadn't slowed down for a second. She was the eldest in her family, so that made her the wisest. She was sitting on the front porch, which wrapped around their large 23-room country house. At 3 stories tall, not including the tower room, the Blanchard house was one of the largest homes in Daimler County, Alabama. It was on this land that courageous farmers, armed with only their tools and very few rifles, did their best to ambush Yankee soldiers marching their fiery path through Alabama during the Civil War. The ambush did not stop the soldiers, whose orders were to burn every landmark and building of prestige. Then, with commanding authority, Trixie quietly says,
"If you're finished crying, you silly old fox, you might want to start running."
Tank opens his eyes, gasps, and smiles.
"Trixie, you're alive!"
He clasps his front paws together with gratefulness and then frowns.
"You scared me so bad!"
He grabs at his chest and adds,
"I think I'm having the big one."
"The monster thinks he shot me, but he missed," Trixie smiles.
"Run, Tank, run,"
she says, with a quiet but urgent tone.
"But he will shoot you if you just lie here."
Tank looks around as he regains his composure.
"Who says I'm gonna lie here?"
she starts sarcastically.
"He's already fired 3 shots, Tank, and by the time he loads that old gun, I'll be history,"
Trixie adds smartly.
"You're the one who'd better run, and now!"
Tank's eyes grow as big as his smile